Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss of First Confessional Lutheran Parish, First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, and Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston. Today we read from St. Luke chapter 5 and from 1 Peter chapter 3. In St. Luke chapter 5, we read, "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men.' So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." And from 1 Peter chapter 3, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Jesus called specific men to a specific task. We have their names listed in the four Gospels. We have their duties spelled out. They were to preach the gospel. They were to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. They were to teach the baptized the same doctrine that they received from Jesus. They were to administer the Lord's Supper. They were to forgive the sins of penitent sinners and retain the sins of the impenitent. And they were to do this in the stead and by the command of their Lord Jesus Christ. After 3 years of instruction, Jesus sent them out to do the work of the ministry. And this is what Jesus has been doing now for the past 2,000 years. That's what he does today. A man enters into the seminary for 3 years of instruction. He's taught the same doctrine that Jesus taught the original preachers. And then Jesus sends them out to do what he sent the first preachers to do. I'd like to consider three things about this office today. First, it is Jesus Christ himself who acts through the ministry he has established. Second, no one is worthy to enter the office of the ministry except by God's grace alone. Third, while only those whom God calls may serve as preachers, every Christian has the duty to defend the faith. First, it is Jesus Christ himself who acts through the ministry he has established. If Jesus were merely a man, whatever he established would be merely human, and so it would pass away. But Jesus is more than a man. He is also God incarnate, God in the flesh. His miraculous catch of fish proves it. Jesus was raised the son of a carpenter. He didn't have experience catching fish. How did he know that if Simon did as he instructed him, that he would catch a boatload of fish? He knew it because he was God, and God knows everything, and God's the one who put the fish there in the first place. Not a blade of grass grows except by his will. Jesus is the Lord God of Israel, come into this world to save us poor sinners. Simon, later to be called Peter, didn't question Jesus. He didn't argue with him. He obeyed him. He did as Jesus instructed him to do. Simon said, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." The minister of Christ is just that. He is a minister or servant of Christ. He does what Christ says to do, and he says what Christ says to say. And in this way, it is Jesus himself who acts and speaks through his ministers. Surely, if Jesus knows enough to tell Peter where to catch fish, he also knows enough to tell Peter and all of his ministers how to catch sinners in the net of God's grace. So we say what he says we say. Nothing more or less will do. Now, when the ministers of the church stop saying what Jesus says to say, then they stop being his ministers. Many people think that there's something much more important to do than to preach the gospel and administer the sacraments of Christ. And so we have so-called ministers lecturing political leaders on how to run the government, butting into everybody's business to tell them what to do. But what did Jesus do? After he had shown his tremendous power and how he could, if he chose, feed the hungry by controlling nature, he gave his ministers no such authority or power. Instead, he gave them the authority to catch men for eternal life. Had Jesus wanted to set up a political or social or economic or philanthropic institution, he could have done so, but he didn't. Instead, he established his church on earth, and to the church he gave the ministry of preaching and teaching the gospel, baptizing, absolving those burdened by guilt, giving his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. That's Christ's ministry on this earth. And what can we say about ministers who set aside the ministry of the gospel and sacraments for the sake of joining trendy social causes that are then dressed up in religious garb and paraded as the Christian ministry? We say that they're not ministers of Christ at all. St. Paul made it so simple. He said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners." That's why he came. He didn't come to create a perfect society here on earth. He didn't come to establish a society of religious busybodies to reform human institutions. But he came and he established his holy church, in which we receive eternal treasures through the preaching of his ministers. Jesus saved sinners on Calvary's cross when he died and took away their sin. And Jesus saves, present tense, sinners today by speaking the words of salvation through the mouths of his ministers. Second, no one is worthy to enter the office of the ministry except by God's grace alone. "Depart from me," Peter said, "for I am a sinful man, O Lord." What was the first thing that Peter felt when he realized that he was in the presence of God, that Jesus was God? He felt his sin. He felt his unworthiness even to be in Jesus' presence. The office of the ministry isn't a job to which you apply, but God must call his ministers, and before he calls them to preach, he must first call them to faith. A minister of Christ must be a forgiven sinner. That is, he must be a Christian. Now, it is true that the gospel and the sacraments of Christ are valid even if the minister is a hypocrite or an unbeliever. After all, it is Jesus who is acting and speaking through the minister. But no man who doesn't know his own sin and its consequences will know how to preach the gospel to sinners. It is no good to put a minister up on a pedestal as if he's some kind of a saint in some saintlier class than other Christians. The Bible does say that a bishop must be blameless, but that's a far cry from being sinless. It means that he isn't involved in scandalous living. Such a man would have no credibility. But the minister as a man is always going to be a sinner, just like the folks he's been called to serve in Jesus' name. And a pastor who preaches God's law ought to be preaching it to himself as well, because the people of God don't need a plaster saint up in the pulpit. Jesus demonstrated his grace in choosing Peter, a sinful man, to be his servant. And his words to Peter, "Fear not," are the same words he speaks to every pastor in his church. Who am I to preach God's law to somebody when I'm just as much a sinner as anybody else? "But fear not," Jesus says. First he forgives, then he calls into the ministry. Isaiah, when he received the call to preach, lamented that he was a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips, and he had just seen God in a vision. But God forgave Isaiah his sins, then he called him, he sent him to preach his word. The minister is not in a special class of Christians holier than the others. His prayers have no more value. His intercession is no more efficacious. The gospel that he preaches doesn't belong to him. It belongs to Christ. And it's never the holiness or the talents or the gifts or the personality of the preacher that benefit anybody. It's always the words of Jesus that Jesus preaches through the mouths of sinful men. Third, while only those whom God calls may serve as ministers, every Christian has the duty to defend the faith. Now, God calls his ministers. Those who appoint themselves are not ministers of God. Through Jeremiah, the prophet, God said, "I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied." The Apostle Paul teaches that we need a call into the ministry. In Romans 10, 14, and 15, he writes, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they not believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" God sends them to speak his words. And since Christ has given himself and his ministry to his whole church, we know that the call from the church to do what Christ has instituted is God's call. Just as God speaks to us through the ministers he has called, God calls his ministers through those who hear and confess and defend the true word of God. We confess in the Augsburg Confession, nobody should publicly preach, teach, or administer the sacraments in the church unless he's rightly called. So not everybody is a minister. However, every Christian is called to defend the faith. It is every Christian's duty to confess the truth and to give a defense for the hope that God has given him. And that's what St. Peter says in the words that we read a few moments ago. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Christians often bemoan the fact that the Christian church in our day has fallen from God's truth in so many areas, whether it's teaching the eternal mysteries of the faith or simply traditional Christian morality. And it is common to blame unfaithful preachers for the decline of the church. These men don't have the courage to be genuine ministers of Christ. But you know, that's only half the story. It's always a matter of supply and demand. Do you want to know why there are so many unfaithful preachers? It's because there's a big demand for them. That's what St. Paul predicted. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, we read, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Every Christian is to defend the faith. It's not just the minister's ministry. It belongs to Christ. It belongs to Christ's church. And when a Christian defends the hope that God has put inside of him, that Christian is confessing the faith that saves others. God himself speaks through Christians every day. And through that speaking, God sets people free. Through the speaking of sinners, Christ saves sinners. He brings into our lives the freedom for which he died. He who bore our disgrace and our shame by suffering the penalty for our sins, he who shed his blood as the sacrifice to take away God's anger against us, he who rose from the dead on Easter Sunday, he gives us, through the words he speaks, the everlasting life that he purchased for us. He speaks through sinful men, but in doing so, he gives to sinful men, women, and children the treasures of heaven. That's how he catches us in the net of his grace and bears us home. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. Please come and visit us at one of our congregations. We have church at First American Lutheran Church in Mayville at 11:30, at First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile at 8 o'clock, and at Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston at 9:30 every Sunday morning. Please tune in next Sunday, the same time, the same station, for the next broadcast.